All right, here we go. So my name is Alex Soroka, and I'm coming from the University of Delaware. The Mid-Atlantic is a little bit east of here. And today I'm going to be talking to you about the effects of in-season fertilizer strategies on the yield that you get from your corn, but also on the nitrogen use efficiency. And what that means is when we put our corn down, when we put the fertilizer down and how much of it we put down will not only impact what you can harvest from your field, but also how much of the fertilizer makes it into the plant. The reason that we're concerned about this in Delaware is that we feed a lot of poultry. Last year, we raised well over 200 million chickens within the state. And in order to feed all those chickens, we grow a lot of corn and a lot of soybean. Last year, we grew roughly 180,000 acres of corn and 72,000 hectares of corn, and 160,000 acres of soybean, roughly 65,000 hectares of soy. All these birds go to feed the sixth of America's population, which lives within 6 hours' drive of Delaware. Now, while our producers grow this corn and the soy, they run into some challenges. These are not new. In the last 25 years, we've had 5 dry years, which have severely impacted the yields taken by farmers without irrigation, and we also have increasing regulation. In the last 30 years, there's been more and more interest into the nutrients which we put into our water bodies. So the Chesapeake Bay, pictured on the left here, Delaware's on the right. To the right of Delaware would be that other really big inlet, the Delaware River. And the Chesapeake Bay, only 1% of that watershed is in Delaware, but it makes up a third of Delaware. And in order to regulate the nutrients leaving it, there's the Chesapeake Bay program, which uses a model called the Chesapeake Bay model. And it looks at whether or not states are in compliance with a TMDL, which states how much nitrogen and phosphorus is leaving the area. And we're curious about the numbers that they're using inside of this. And what we want to do is say that fertilized and irrigated crops have a much higher use efficiency or have a higher use efficiency possibly than fertilized non-irrigated, or the benefits could actually be greater. There might not be a higher use efficiency, but the benefit that you get from irrigation could be greater. And so what we're looking to do is we're going to identify more efficient nitrogen fertilizer timing to improve profitable yields for our growers, but we're also looking to advise the Bay program on the efficiency of different irrigation and fertilizer strategies. The goal is to properly allocate credit load reductions. So for their TMDL, we want to make sure that irrigated agriculture is given the credit it's due. So when we talk about cropland in Delaware, there's two main forms. We have dry land and we have irrigation. Dry land is far more common. Unfortunately, you are dependent upon weather, so when it does get dry, nothing will grow, or less things grow. And so you can expect to yield about 6.3 megagrams per hectare. That translates to about 100 bushels per acre. When it's dry, you get far less than that, less than 5 megagrams per hectare. Irrigated land, it's a third of the cropland and growing. Why? Because it's more stable. You get higher yields on average, almost 2.5 times as much, coming in at 15.7 megagrams per hectare. Irrigated land is growing, and every year it gets larger. So when we talk about nitrogen application, in Delaware, we look at your expected yield. So you take your last 7 years and you say, out of those last 7 years, what are your 4 best years? Then you take an average of your 4 best years. We're optimistic. And then we say that you can take that and say that's how much you expect. Then you say, if you have 1.1 kilos of N applied, that'll give you 63 kilograms of corn. This is from long-term studies in Delaware. That is our rate. And so as an example scenario of how this N gets applied, you could put down poultry manure in the spring and maybe 105 kilos. And the amount of N that you can put down from poultry manure is controlled by a phosphorus index, in that you cannot put down too much poultry manure because that's going to add too much phosphorus. And then you add a little bit more at planting. That'll give you a total at the end of the year. Now, if you believe, or if you test your soil and you think that you will be deficient in nitrogen over the growing season, corn loves nitrogen the most, then you will add a side dress later in the year, and that'll bring your total value higher. So our research looks at different timing and different rate applications on a farm in southern Delaware that is amongst many other farms in southern Delaware. We have two systems going. One is a 10-hectare center pivot with low-hanging nozzles, which have a variable rate application. We can open and close them based on a computer program. Then we also have 6 hectares of subsurface drip. I'd like to say that the center pivot, if for people who use irrigation, center pivot is far more common. The subsurface drip is up and coming, and people generally use it on fields that are hard to get to or smaller fields, things that you can't fit the center pivot on. We have these centered on moderately well to well-drained loamy sands. It's important to note that in Delaware, a groundwater table is relatively shallow. Many areas, you're looking between 15 and 30 feet under you, so it's relatively easy to access this water, which is another reason why it's people are coming to it more. Okay. So what fertilizer treatments are we looking at? This is the same diagram that I showed you earlier, and watch out because it's going to get complex in a second. We put down a little bit of poultry manure at first, then a little bit of starter. Then we have this under dry and under irrigation. Now, if you apply irrigation, you give your plant a much greater chance to grow. And in order to sustain that growth, you would generally give it more fertilizer, more food to sustain the growth. Here we didn't. This is kind of like our control. Dry land would be the control, and this represents what many would be doing under dry land in Delaware. So it gives you a total. We have 2 here, 1 for dry, 1 for irrigation. Then we also have our side dress. This is under irrigation. So you're going to put down a little bit more later in the season. We're doing this at and just below the University of Delaware recommendation. The side dress goes on at growth stage V5. That's about when your corn plant's a foot tall. Oop, other way. Then, finally, we have our fertigation. The fertigation is when you supply your fertilizer in line with your irrigation water. We use this by a diaphragm pump with check valves so that you can pass the fertilizer and the water through, but if something goes wrong, it cannot wash back inside. It just keeps going. And the difference here is kind of like, would you rather, if you would either eat a couple large meals during the day or many small meals. While it's not, the metabolism of the human body isn't the same as a field, I mean, it's a useful analogy. And so on the right, you can see our totals, total rates. And these would be in kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. So the fields are set up, and we're going to be showing results from the center pivot today. We have split these up into 60 by 60 foot or approximately 20 by 20 meter plots. And we have it set up and randomized complete block design. And so that'd be 7 replications over 6 to 8 different treatments. In 2013, we did 6 treatments. 2014, we did 8 treatments. We look at the total yield, the whole plant, and we take tissue samples of the whole plant. We also sample the grain, stalk, and we look at total nitrogen and nitrate in these. In the soils, we look at, we take a pre-sidrous nitrate and soil test, which is what Delaware farmers have access to when they would like to get a better idea of whether or not they would like to apply more nitrogen. We also take routine samples in fall, and we check our irrigation water for the amount of nitrogen it supplies. This is important in Delaware. Since our groundwater is so close and we grow so much, so many crops, we have relatively high groundwater concentrations of nitrogen. Nitrates around 10 to 11 milligrams per liter. Nitrogen use efficiency. So the question is, of the nitrogen we put down, how much actually makes it into the crop or the grain? We are using 2 different methods. One is uptake efficiency, quite a simple ratio. It's basically how much returns. It's your yield divided by your fertilizer. We also have a mass balance, which looks at the total nitrogen in your crop. So that would be the N in whole plant and the grain. You subtract the estimate of mineralization from the soil, and you also subtract the other being what we find from precipitation and what we get from our irrigation water. Like I said, we have nitrate in it. We then divide that by the amount of nitrogen supplied, And it gives us an indication of how effective, considering a few other factors, how effective we were at estimating the nitrogen used. Then we could say, estimate that our unaccounted for N was 1 minus the mass balance, multiply the amount of N supplied. And so I'm going to show you results from the center pivot, and this is just using the simple equation on the left, just the ratio. For last year, this is 2013. Here we have yield and nutrient use efficiency. Yield is in blue, nutrient efficiency is in yellow. And we have, on the left side, remember, we have the lower amount of fertilizer, that's dry, irrigated. Then we have our side dress at and below the university recommendation. And we also have fertigation at and below the recommendation. Well, what did we learn from this? Complex. The yields aren't exactly what we expected. The story here is basically if you put on more fertilizer, you're going to get more corn. Okay. Nutrient use efficiency, and the different letters mean that there's a difference between these. And these were found using a mixed model ANOVA and with a two-key test to see who is different from who. So the different letters mean that the treatments were significantly different from one another. Nutrient use efficiency, no difference. There was no change. That's strange. We didn't really expect that. We think that's because we had incredibly heavy rains last year. In Delaware, we had one storm which dropped about 13 inches of rain over 3 days, a little over 13 inches in 3 days. And the really high amount of rain, we think, impacted these results. So what happened in 2014? A little bit different. Same thing. So we used above the recommendation, at the recommendation, below the recommendation for side dress and fertigation. The dry land and irrigated are on the left side again. And what do we see with the yield? Keep hitting the wrong button. What do we see with the yield? Again, it's if you apply more fertilizer, you're going to be getting more corn. The more interesting story comes when you look at the nutrient use efficiency. So on the far left, you see a low amount of application and a really high efficiency. Note the scale on the right side. We are over 100% nutrient use efficiency. We're looking, so the first two, they're deficient. There's a much lower rate, and you increase again as your rate gets higher. But the yield didn't necessarily change. These are, again, we're looking just at the ratio of your yield towards your fertilizer. We're going to pull this apart in the coming months, but for right now, we didn't have the data to present at this meeting. So as we continue with this study, what we're looking to do is get a better understanding of how the nutrient timing recommendations for producers can minimize the losses. And what we would like to do is advise the Bay program on how they can better represent these different strategies within the Bay model, which is then used to promote regulations within the Bay watershed. So I'd like to acknowledge the University of Delaware Cooperative Extension, Advisor Amy Schober, Jennifer Falk, members of the Carville Research Center. Any questions? Shoot. Yep.
About various way of calculating use efficiency, mm-hmm. You can probably come up with 10 different formulas, and you show one of them. I think it's maybe not the best one you use. You say sort of yield divided by application of
fertilizer. Yeah.
Fertilizer. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't really take into account the basic fertility of the soil.
Yeah.
You can mm-hmm. make if you could have normalized your data with the amount taken up by a crop not fertilized but well irrigated. Mm-hmm. You would have had much stronger results, in my opinion.
Do you mean with a control that's unfertilized, but
yes,
with irrigation?
Because the soil itself has some, depending on the amount of carbon inside, or humus, or organic matter content, mm-hmm. had quite big strength in mineralizing nitrogen.
Absolutely. So our organic matter levels are quite low. Generally around 1%.
Yeah.
And so
it's nearly a desert, right?
Huh? Yeah, I mean, it is quite sandy. So one of the next things that we want to look at, so the data that we have here, we got the results back before, 2 days before we flew here, so we didn't have enough to go further into the story. But one of the next steps that we want to look at is, say, get a better estimate of how these could be mineralized. So maybe doing incubation studies to see what could be taken up. So it's coming. Unfortunately, we don't have it this time. Turk? It is, so that 105 we call plant available nitrogen. And so I believe the coefficient that we use for how much is available is 0.6, so 60%. And so we apply for 105 kilos of available N.
So you really apply almost 200.
Then? 180? I need to check that. Before I say out loud, I should check that.